You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday. Back to work. Back to school. Yes, September and fall is upon us. A little earth, wind, and fire to start us off on a September 22nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media downtown Madison at the intersection of State and Fairchild. Crystal blue skies right now over Madison. The sun is out. It's a fall day. Zommers, earth, wind, and fire after September 21st. It's September 20th. Fall is upon us, Zommers.
Yes, it is. And, you know, we missed it by that much because yesterday was the 21st. But, you know, it says the 21st night of September.
Exactly.
So it still works.
It was the night of September. I love me a little earth, wind, and fire.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong.
You cannot go wrong at all. Welcome into fall, and it's upon us. Busy one. Busy day ahead. Cannot wait. Great things. There's going to be a costume change, by the way, today at halftime during the show, because I'm going to change in from my Brewers polo shirt, going to get to that in a second, into my Packer polo shirt. I know. We heard our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, talk about it. Packers, ridiculous loss yesterday at the end of the game, 13-10 to Joe Thomas's Cleveland Browns. I know who's happy about this. Joe Thomas.
I'm sure he is. And you know, but see, here's the thing. Todd's no fair weather fan.
No, I'm no fair weather fan. That's right. And what better balm to put on our Packer loss wounds than a brand new film from our friends Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry, two of the great producers of the film Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, exclusively on our show, and we appreciate it when that happens. Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry are going to be here live in hour number two at 3:35, giving us the details on their new film called No Packers, No Life.
You're going to want to be here for this. I've seen some stuff from it. It's very exciting.
Sean and I met. He was in town this weekend, was filming some stuff this weekend, and we met up for coffee. And he showed me under threats of non-disclosure agreements and castration, he showed me the trailer. And he said, no, you can't talk about this until next Monday. And I didn't. I didn't even tell Zommers exactly what it was about.
I can confirm.
Yeah. But I've seen the trailer. It's fantastic. It's about a group of Japanese Packer fans in Tokyo who end up, and they'll explain how and why, come to Green Bay for the first time and discover the magic that is Green Bay and Lambeau Field. And to Zommer's point, I know, a little heartburn after the Packers loss, but this will make you feel better and remind us all why we're Packer fans. So looking forward to that. And speaking of that team in Green Bay, Wisconsin, in hour number two, we are going to launch this fall's rendition of our Fall Sizzle Saver Trivia Text to Win Contest.
Otherwise known as Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Contest.
That too. Yes. The Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win Contest. So get your texting fingers ready. And here's what you do. You download the Civic Media app on your Android or Apple device. Go to the search engine, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. You click on the CM logo. It takes less than a minute. It's free. And open it up. We're on the first 10 stations. And an hour from now, I'm going to give you the magic word for the 3 o'clock hour, and you text that word in. And the grand prize, beautiful clubbish level seats at a major stadium in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which hosts a professional football team whose colors are green and gold. How'd I do?
You got it. You got
yes!
it. And Minnesota's team will be here.
And Minnesota's team will be here as well. Now, listeners of the show know that last year I flubbed this up because it's very specific, and they're dead serious about this. The attorneys on the 12th floor are listening and watching with prying eyes. Because, first of all, unlike other contests, this one is there used to be a statewide contest. Now, we're a multi-state contest. And let me tell you, I experimented with some multi-state contests back in college and realized that wasn't for me. So this is a multi-state contest. But we're not allowed to say the name of the team, the franchises, the league in which they play, name the location, the specific field or stadium in which they play. So we have to use all these things like green and gold, a football team, a professional team in Green Bay. And for every time I mess it up, I get dinged. I get fined at the Civic Media Fine Jar.
And these fines are not insignificant.
No, they're not. As in unemployment. So the text to win green and gold contest, we'll see how long I can maintain my, whatever you want to call it, yeah. Getting it right.
We'll text in to save Todd's job.
And by the way, as we like to say, there are more text to win contest winners that come from the Civic Media's Todd Allball Show than any other Civic Media text to win program.
Many people are saying.
So that'll be a lot of fun. And at the bottom of this hour, Natalie Yar of Wisconsin Watch will be here to talk about Wisconsin College's vow to keep supporting Hispanic students despite federal cuts. Want to start with the crew back-to-back-to-back National League Central Division champions, Murph and the boys, got it done yesterday. Well, kind of, sort of. They actually lost the game in St. Louis. Weird game yesterday. But the Cubs lost to the Reds, and that clinched it for the Milwaukee Brewers. They got to celebrate down there at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. It was a orgasmic champagne jubilee in the locker room. Let me tell you, it was fantastic to watch. Here's manager Pat Murphy after the clinch.
Like I've always said, it's about the who that's in the room. And these are the right guys. They know how to play. They know how to win. They know how to bounce back. That's what's special.
Well, Yelly's been in the middle of all of that since 2018. You think about Yelly, Woody, Freddie, what they've done to establish excellence and the level of competition that you demand.
Yelly brings that standard of how to play the game. He understands the little things. This team does the little things. And Yelly's the one that sets that tone. He means the world to this team, way beyond the numbers.
Manager Pat Murphy, after the Brewers got the clinch via the Cubs loss yesterday, they are now the National League Central Division champions. Sal Frelick, my favorite Brewer, was interviewed after the game in the locker room, drenched in champagne. Here's what Sal had to say on the culture of this team.
Sal, this is 3 years, three playoffs, three division championships for you. Just when you look back at maybe the through lines of the themes of these teams, what allows you guys to do this year after a year?
I think it's just the culture. I think they built something really special here, and you know, we have a really good group of players, and that's all credit to the front office, Murph, getting the right guys in here and putting this uniform on. And yeah, it's really just the culture, and you know, we show up every spring training with the goal of, you know, winning the division. So it's been great to. Fortunate that I've been able to do it every year.
Yelly, I know, reminded you guys this isn't guaranteed, it's not routine. How do you keep it from feeling like, we do this every year?
Yeah, I mean, Yelly, like you said, he reminds us every year that, like, guys go their whole careers without ever getting to spray champagne. And I've been here for, this is my third year, and I've done it three times, and he just keeps saying to us young guys, like, just know how lucky you are, make sure you're aware of what it takes to win, and never forget that feeling. I think that's just important to reiterate that.
Sal, where was your belief level at in, like, May 24th?
Yeah, I mean, right where it should be. I mean, there's never, I know we started off slow and whatnot, but, like, the season's so long and so much can happen, and that's what baseball is, that no one ever kind of strayed from that goal, even after the first weekend, the first month, whatever it might be. So we always knew we'd probably end up here.
You talked a lot about the winning culture. What are you talking about? How much does Pat Murphy kind of cultivate?
Yeah, I mean, we got the right guy, you know, and he's someone who just encapsulates that and reminds us every day when we're not doing the things we need to do, just to get us back on track. And without him, this whole entire year, I don't think we would have gotten back on track. So all the credit to him.
That is Sal Frelick of the Brewers, of the culture of Pat Murphy. Going to hear later in the show, we have time from Pat. There was a great special. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I saw excerpts of a great special on the Major League Baseball Network last night with the great Bob Costa sitting down with Murph. Talking about, and the fact that he picks on Frelick so much, he goes, I know, I don't say that much nice about him. But you can clearly tell that if Frelick isn't Murph's favorite player, it's one of the top three or four. Because he called Frelick the it factor. It says he's got the it factor. He does everything that he wants him to do. I'm so happy for these guys. I'm so ecstatic about this run. Some really rough news yesterday for the Brewers, and we don't know the whole thing, so we want to be very careful about this. But Brandon Woodruff, great pitcher for starter for Milwaukee, apparently had some sort of he didn't re-injure the arm, the shoulder he had surgery on, but it's a muscle or a tendon around that got tweaked. And very concerning, he's on the 15-day IL. May be done for the regular season. We'll see. But that could give the Brewers some pitcher problems down the stretch, which they don't need. But let's just focus on what they've done. Back-to-back-to-back NL Division champions. Fantastic. They're back underway tonight in San Diego, 8:05 for the pregame show, late one on the West Coast. First pitch just after 8:30. The Crew taking on the San Diego Padres, which they could see potentially in the playoffs. Don't forget the Brewers, although they clinched the National League, they're still trying to get the number one seed in the National League. They clinched the NL Central, I should say. Trying to get the NL and Major League Baseball number one seed, which they would give them home field advantage throughout the playoffs, including the World Series. The magic number to secure that now at four games, there are six games left in the regular season. Exciting times indeed. Also, by the way, the big sports weekend, for better or worse. Badger football team basically had a must win at Camp Randall, as Clemens reported, lost to Maryland.
It was 27-10.
And fans were chanting the student section by the third quarter, "Fire Fickle." I mean, it was audible over television. And now you got Chris McIntosh, the AD, coming out, giving him a vote of confidence. Be careful, Mac. It's the same thing he did to Paul Christ 2 weeks before he fired him. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, a Republican candidate for governor has found himself in some throuple. I love it when hypocrisy happens to my former party. We've got the sultry details on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the All-Ball Show for a fall September Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
The kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
That's right. For the Lowe's Classic Television Shelf, Three's Company. It turns out Three's Company, Thruples, and the like, also not good if you're running for Wisconsin governor. I love every part of this story by Daniel Bice in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I'll tell you why. As a former Republican who left the party in 2011, my former party is famous, and not just in Republican conservative politics, but also some particularly fundamentalist MAGA churches, mega church type people. They say one thing in public, and it's not just they say it, they harp on it. They demonize. They say if you're whatever you are, if you have a certain sexuality, a certain sexual preference, a certain, you're a deviant, terrible person, you're going to hell. And then it turns out they're doing the same damn thing behind closed doors. And I love it when they get called on the carpet for it. And this isn't about, in my opinion, look, as long as people are of age and it's a legal practice, live and let live, baby. That's where I'm at. Have fun with life. But here you gotta, here's the headline. GOP governor candidate Bill Berrien scrubs link to sexually explicit social media accounts. From Daniel Bice of the Journal Sentinel, as a Republican running for governor, White Fist Bay businessman Bill Berrien is campaigning as a conservative leader who stands up for family values. Berrien, CEO of Pindle Global Precision, is especially critical of transgender individuals, saying they are engaged in, quote, radical social experimentation, unquote. Quote, take it from a dad or a coach. I will keep boys out of a daughter and our daughters, keep boys out of our daughters' sports and locker rooms, unquote, Berrien said in a recent TV ad. The new ad praises President Donald Trump for, quote, protecting our daughters' sports, unquote. But Berrien's online footprint tells a very different story, one that he quietly tried to hide and erase in recent days on Medium.com. And apparently this is a, oh, I never heard of it until this story. And you, Zommers, you're a more in-tune person. Medium.com. I guess it's an old platform, like precursor to whatever, Facebook.
Yeah, I know
or
it exists, but Substack I never really
or whatever.
Used it.
Yeah. It says it's similar to Substack. Berrien, who's age 56, had an account that was following a transgender porn star named, quote, Jiz Lee, and several other authors of sexually explicit essays, unquote. Now, when you follow someone on social media, it means to subscribe to their account and their posts show up in your personal feed. Other writers that the Republican was following include Octavio Morrison, author of, quote, Seven Types of Orgasmic Sensations, unquote, and, quote, Three Terrible Reasons to Have a Threesome, unquote. And Emma Austin, who calls herself, quote, a wholesome perv with a touch of whimsy, unquote, who has posted such items as, quote, I love getting jackhammered, unquote. Bice writes, not your typical men's health magazine headlines. I encourage you to go on and read this.
It is a fascinating article.
It's a fascinating story. One of the articles that Berrien is still following as of September 16th, the Sexography blog, are two individual accounts with sexually provocative content called the Nine Types of Couples Who You Want to Have a Threesome With and Three Parts of Transformative Orgasmic Pleasure, unquote. Here's the reason I'm laughing. Because, you guys, remember it was the Republicans who went apoplectic a block away from where I'm sitting when Joe Gow and his wife, the chancellor at UW La Crosse, in their own personal time, in their own personal account, had an adult film cooking show where they got frisky with another woman. And these Republicans went apoplectic. Oh, my gosh, we can't have this. Somebody has quoted it. Maybe Berrien was just doing research. they say.
This is horrible that this is happening. Please give me the link right now so I know to never go there.
And you get people like Berrien who are attacked the most vulnerable of our friends, neighbors, and family. And yet this guy is clearly, people forget that stuff lives out there forever. And by the way, he's not denying it, Berrien. His latest post today, I won't read the whole thing, says, is this the best they could do just days after I promised to stand with President Trump to protect our state, stop the woke indoctrination, and keep boys out of girls' sports? They come after me with some failed attacks they tried with President Trump. He's not denying it. In fact, his staff basically confirmed it and said, yeah, it was him that went in there. But now they're saying it's an unfair attack. You know, Trump got attacks for the Epstein files. Trump hasn't even admitted that. Berrien is at least admitting that he's on. And as I say, live and let live, baby. By the way, at the Charlie Kirk funeral down in Arizona, Phoenix, Grindr. Online, Grindr got a huge amount, like a record number of, hey, this isn't working type of stuff. Same thing that happened at a Republican National Convention. Down in Milwaukee last year. Remember our old friend Kristen Bry and I got, and yes, I'm on Grindr. I'm a single gay man, and it's a quote-unquote dating app. By the way, my longest dating relationship did come from Grindr.
Well, good. That doesn't always happen on that app, so I'm glad to hear it.
Let's be honest. It's also a hookup app, right?
That's the primary function as far as I'm aware.
Be yourself and be open about it. Don't attack other people for who they are and the legal things they enjoy, and then do the same thing behind closed doors. Jeff Perry says, I think maybe Berrien has been spending too much time at the Regal Beagle, keeping up with the Three's Company theme. Come on back. We'll talk to Wisconsin Watch after this on the 3Z Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on a Monday, September 22nd, 2025. Glad to have you along. Gotten a couple of texts, calls, whatnot, on the signal on AUK down in beautiful Milwaukee. We're upgrading the signal. That's the great news. There may be some funky gremlins going on, so bear with us. We're on it. Our great engineering team is on it like stink on a monkey. As Kramer once said in Seinfeld. You ever see that episode, Somers?
Not that one.
All right. He was delivering, he and Newman had a scam on bottles or cans or like recycling. He goes, I'm on it, Jerry, like stink on a monkey. Anyway, so our great engineering team is indeed on it. By the way, I got a couple of texts. I said, what is this contest you're talking about? Because it's the lawyers. You understand? I can't say when it comes to our green and gold, go for the green and gold text to win contest. But just think about it, guys. What sports team in Wisconsin is referred to as the green and gold? All right? It's tickets for a game for that team and the team over in Minnesota that goes around wearing little horn hats all the time.
And that will be next hour.
That'll be next hour. We'll give you we have not given you the word yet, so stand by. Don't go anywhere. We'll give you the word very shortly and by the way, we're giving away cash prizes, cold hard cash, and gold jewelry. It's a prize Lollapalooza, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned for that. All right. Let's turn to more serious issues of the day here at 36 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Our friends over at Wisconsin Watch, you always do a great job. Headline, Wisconsin colleges vow to keep supporting Hispanic students despite federal funding cuts. Joining us via StreamYard from Wisconsin Watch, Natalie Yar. Natalie, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Whenever someone comes on the show for the first time, we always like to ask to have you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, how you got into the journalism field, and ended up at Wisconsin Watch.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I grew up in Southern California in Irvine, and my mom is from Wisconsin originally, and I came back here several years ago, and I spent several years working at the Cap Times and recently moved to Wisconsin Watch, where I report on pathways to success. We think of that as being basically about jobs and job training and how people get into family sustaining work and what's sometimes keeping people from doing that.
That's fantastic. We appreciate you joining us. Anybody who watches or listens to this show knows I'm passionate about education in this state, particularly higher education as well. One of the things I think that gets lost, we always like to take these federal issues and say, how does it apply to Wisconsin? Your reporting does just exactly that. A, it talks about Wisconsin colleges, but a growing segment of Wisconsinites are Hispanic. Either their mom or dad might have been, or both parents, what have you. And it can be tougher. You know, oftentimes, people from minority families come from lower social economic backgrounds. It's tougher to pay for college, tougher to get in, tougher to have access. And now with federal cuts in D.C., people are wondering what the heck is going on here. Tell us the premise of your story and how you came to report this.
Yes. So indeed, what you said, Hispanic students are, I believe, the fastest growing population of college students in the country. And there was already a lawsuit that started a few months back about the question of whether Hispanic serving institutions were constitutional or not, whether they were violating the Constitution and rewind a step, there is a thing called quote unquote Hispanic serving institutions that is a category for colleges and universities in the U.S. that have at least 25% of their full-time undergrad student body being Hispanic. And that category was created by the federal government about 30 years ago, and institutions that meet that criteria are eligible to apply for what is now millions of dollars in grants each year. It doesn't mean that they get it, but they can apply for those funds to do various different things to improve their schools, from supporting teaching, supporting building, like creating new buildings, to other forms of student support. Those exist. There's a special category of grants that this year was slated to I don't want to get the number wrong. I won't say that. But there was a lawsuit filed this summer that aimed to take that on, filed by the same group that took on affirmative action in previous cases and led to that Supreme Court ruling that essentially overturned affirmative action in college admissions. That lawsuit was already pending, and the federal government had announced that it was not planning to defend the Hispanic serving institutions program in court. So that already wasn't looking good for Hispanic serving institutions. And I was already working on a story about how would that affect Wisconsin, where we have four of these institutions. And then a few days ago, the federal government announced that it was indeed cutting that grant program and other grants for other types of quote unquote minority serving institutions. So that is how the story came about.
We are talking with Natalie Yar. She is from Wisconsin Watch. You can find this work and everything else at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. I appreciate the reporting because even as someone who thinks I follow higher ed in this state, I was unaware of this. And correct me if I'm wrong, I've heard of the HBUs, particularly in southern United States, that make sure they carve out niches for Black African Americans in this country. Is it similar to that, only with Hispanics in this country? And is this something that is all across the U.S.? Obviously, it's a federal fund. It must be. I just never heard of, because in your story, I was taken by the fact that you call out Alverno College, Herzing University, Gateway Technical College, and Mount Mary University here in Wisconsin. I've heard of those, but I'm like, well, why doesn't this apply to the old Wisconsin system of public universities? What's unique about this program, and why are they more focused on private universities?
Yes. So the program is not specifically about private universities. Yes, they exist throughout the country. There are about 600 schools that currently have this designation across the U.S. And many of them are public universities. or community colleges or all sorts of different Gateway Technical Colleges, a public technical college here in Wisconsin. So first of all, are they similar to the HBCUs? I'm not an expert on HBCUs. I will say, like, in some ways, yes, but also it's quite a different thing. By my understanding, HBCUs and also the tribal colleges are both very specific designations that I think are somewhat historical. HBCUs being historically Black colleges and universities, I believe that they had to have been started before 1964, and that this was about schools that were created to serve populations that were not accepted at other schools or were not being served at other schools. And this is a broader type of category that the Hispanic serving institutions, and there are others in this minority serving institutions category. So the HBCUs and the tribal colleges, to be clear, are not part of this minority serving institutions category that was cut by the federal government. They were kind of exempted, I think, in part because of their historical role, and maybe there were also some political motivations there. This designation is instead just for, as far as I know, any college or university that meets a certain enrollment threshold as far as their student body has, for example, in this case, that is 25% Hispanic, can apply to have this designation. And the reason that other Wisconsin schools aren't in this boat, by my understanding, is simply that they don't have enough Hispanic students yet to fall in this category. And so these schools do not have anything about like their founding that was for Hispanic students or anything like that. It's just that these schools are acknowledging, hey, a big part of who is in our student body is Hispanic students. And they would say they want to do certain things to ensure the success of those students.
You speak with Anthony Hernandez, an education policy researcher at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, who studies Hispanic-serving institutions. And you quote Professor Hernandez in here saying, quote, for the most of U.S. history, minority students were either explicitly excluded from higher education or funneled into segregated, underfunded schools, unquote. I thought that was put a point on it to what you said earlier, is that this is about integrating and learning from each other. And I've spoken on this show before as someone who grew up in a 99% white community in Southwest Wisconsin and went to UW Richland, having the Central American Scholarship Program where you had 18 fellow students from around the world who were Latino, Hispanic, who were coming there out of 350 students, it made a huge impact on my life and it helped me grow. I got more out of it, I think, than probably what they did and going back to the country. So I think this program benefits not just the student, but also the entire institution and everybody who's going there. Did you find that in your reporting, Natalie?
Yeah, my story doesn't necessarily get so much at that side. I mean, that's certainly a significant one part of the argument for why these institutions should exist. Certainly what Professor Hernandez said about this is a demographic of students who often, of course that would not be always, but who often may have for one reason or another been less well served by the K-12 education system or by the college system. And therefore it could make sense to allocate additional resources to support those students in some way. So that is certainly the argument that was made for why this should be created in the first place. This program should be created in the first place. Of course, now the Trump administration is saying that these programs are inherently discriminatory and unconstitutional, and that they want to, quote, reprogram those funds. So we're talking about $350 million that was allocated to these. There's seven different minority serving institution grant programs that were providing resources to Hispanic serving institutions, and some of the other programs were for different groups of demographics. And they want to, quote, reprogram those funds to other types of education programs that they do not consider unconstitutional. Of course, the courts have not actually made a ruling on whether they were unconstitutional or not. And making headlines like the day that my story published was the news that they were in fact allocating $495 million in one-time funds for historically Black colleges and universities. So those HBCUs and for technical colleges and universities. So yeah, basically they moved those funds and some more for this coming year to those schools that were in a different category. What is not, what among the things that are not clear is if the program, if they do indeed succeed in cutting this funding for the future, whether those funds will, what will happen in the future for those funds?
Because this hold that one thought, we're up against the clock here, Natalie. We'll come back and talk more with Natalie Yar from Wisconsin Watch on funding Wisconsin's colleges when Hispanic student funding at the federal level is being cut. Don't go anywhere. It's a Monday edition of the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. Big hour number two. Stay tuned. Not going to want to miss it. Our green and gold text to win contest where you can give away cash, going to give away gold jewelry and a chance at the grand prize, which are tickets to the professional football team in Green Bay, Wisconsin that wears green and gold. So stick around for that. Also, filmmakers Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Beery. They brought you the film Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. They have a new film on the Packers called No Packers, No Life. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking to them in hour number two as well as some breaking news just coming out. We'll get to that in a moment. But right now we continue our conversation with Natalie Yar of WisconsinWatch.org. You can find her work and her fellow reporters at WisconsinWatch.org. Great publication. Wonderful story, important story on Wisconsin colleges vowing to keep supporting Hispanic students despite federal funding, supporting Hispanic students despite federal funding cuts. And Natalie, before the break, started to get into this a little bit, but expand if you can, please, on which colleges in Wisconsin are affected. And you didn't necessarily get responses from everybody that you reached out to.
Yeah. Yeah. So there, as we were discussing before, you know, this these cuts will eliminate grants to seven different grant programs that were designed to support minority serving institutions in the U.S. and Hispanic serving institutions, which is what my story focused on, are one of those categories. In Wisconsin, that's the only relevant type that we have anyway. That's the only type of institution that was cut that exists in Wisconsin. Our four Hispanic serving institutions are Mount Mary University, Alverno College, Gateway Technical College, and Herzing University.
Okay.
And I contacted all of those schools to try to find out what they were thinking about this, what their plans were, how much funding they get through this. And the only one that I got actual answers back from was Gateway Technical College, which is the a technical college in Kenosha, they are the one that has most recently received this designation and thus most recently become eligible to apply for these grants. And they had applied for $2.8 million, and they were waiting to hear back on whether they were going to get that grant, which I believe was going to be over a 5-year period. And then this news broke that the program was getting cut. So clearly, unless something in the courts or in right. Congress manages to stop that, they're not getting that $2.8 million. I have also seen reporting from last year when Herzing received this designation, that they also got a grant for, I believe it was $2.7 million over 5 years. And the announcement last week that cut those grants also cut any future payments on existing grants. So if it's true that Herzing had $2.7 million mm-hmm. Allotted, then, you know, I'm guessing probably around $2 million or so hasn't come to them yet and isn't coming any longer.
And I know, I don't love this as the spirit of this, but have we heard that the institutions that you've named all private colleges, universities, and so these aren't going to come from, you know, this commitment to support Hispanic students despite federal cuts, not going to come from taxpayer funding. Is this coming from endowments? Is this coming from specific people giving grants, or do we know yet?
Yeah. And I should be clear also, one part we haven't talked about. So I reached out to those four schools asking about their plans. And like I said, all those other numbers. But I also reached out to the schools in Wisconsin. I don't have the number in front of you right now, but it's around 10 other schools. I think it's 11 schools that are quote unquote, emerging Hispanic serving institutions. Now, that's not a designation given by the federal government. That's given by an association of education leaders. These are schools that are trying to achieve this full-on status of Hispanic serving institutions. And Wisconsin has more of those. And I could list them all off, but I won't fine. Right now. And many of them responded to me to say, we are still trying to become Hispanic serving institutions, like meeting the full sure. criteria for that, the 25% enrollment numbers, et cetera. Even if there's not going to be money behind it anymore. It's all very unclear whether that category will even exist in the future if the federal government no longer runs this grant program. Mm-hmm. But basically they were saying, we consider it very important to our mission and to serving our students to meet the needs of our Hispanic students. And we intend to keep doing that. And we will look for other ways to do that. We all did right. not get into the finer details of how they would uh-huh. Or whether they'll be able to make up those funds. I mean, I would guess that it's very possible that some of them intend to keep doing that work, but may not have the same resources to put behind it, at least at first. Sure. I think what they were trying to express is we still have the same intentions and we are not going to stop talking about our Hispanic students, or we're not, you know. There's clearly a change in the climate also regarding higher education. And I think that, for example, when I spoke to the president of the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, MIAD, he was basically just saying, this is just part of how we serve our community well, because they were like, we are close to 20% Hispanic student body. Milwaukee is 20% Hispanic. This is what it means to do our job.
Up against the clock. Sorry about that. I got a hard break, but thank you very much, Natalie Yar at Wisconsin Watch. We appreciate you. Find her story, everyone else's, at wisconsinwatch.org. Thanks, Natalie. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Stay tuned. Your chance to win some fabulous prizes. Breaking news from television. We'll tell you what it is after this. Don't go anywhere. Hour two is straight ahead.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.